Welcome to the Chocolate Cake Bites podcast. This is a podcast where we will discuss the sweet nuggets of goodness that come from living the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Ken Williams. The opinions, attitudes, thoughts, and ideas that we discuss are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily a reflection of the actual doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Thanks for listening and enjoy this week's conversation. I had my mute button on. It was going to be super smooth. Welcome to this week's conversation. And I had my mute button on, so that didn't really work. But it's an actual conversation, and I told you last week that it was going to be with Annette. But Annette, I'm just going to give you a hard time, Annette, and say that she's been really hard to work with this week. Actually, that's not true. I have been busy this weekend, and our schedules just didn't fit. So I have in my home studio a young man who is... who came to make cakes yesterday.
Yeah.
So we have Caden. Caden and I used to be in the same ward.
Yep.
And he is not in my ward anymore because we got kicked out.
Yeah, that's changed.
So we've been talking about stuff, and I made the invitation for him to be on the podcast. He accepted. I don't know sometimes why people would think, why would they want to do that? But so here he is, and we're going to talk about... who knows what? We'll just kind of go with whatever. Yeah. Whatever sounds good. You were telling me about an experience that you just had. Was this today?
This was literally right before like I came here. Like I finished up and like I actually had to get going because I promised I'd be back at like 2 and it was already like, oh shoot, 1:30. But it was like, it was worth it. That was a really good discussion.
Cool. So you're on the track team?
Cross country. I'm doing both, but like it was cross country today.
Okay. And so afterwards, you were having a conversation with people that that are on your school team as well, right?
Yep.
Cool. And so I just suggested to Caden, maybe we can talk about faith. And so he starts telling me the story. So tell me the story. Tell me what was happening. Now, just to kind of set the context, you've been a member your whole life.
Yes.
And you are in a pretty big high school.
Yeah, it's like... almost 4,000.
So my high school, I think, had half that.
Wow.
I think my graduating class was, I don't know how much it was.
Like 500, 400?
I have a picture of my high school graduating class somewhere. But it's a huge high school. And I know that there are at least 3 wards that go to high school at that school.
It's 3 wards.
And we're not small. We've got a pretty good size of
the stake is huge.
Yeah. So my high school, there were a lot of kids that had no idea what a member of the church was. And I think that may be the case in Fishers, but you've got a pretty good group of youth.
Yes.
So so what was the situation? How did faith come up?
So we all, so it was initially me and my friend Monroe, we pull up and so we were just like jamming out in the car. We pull out into Chick-fil-A, we get our stuff and we sit by one of our other friends. Like it was pretty crowded in one other area. So my friend, his name is Evan. He comes over and he sits next to us and the conversation just went normal, like talking about, oh, you guys did good today and stuff. But then I'm not exactly sure what started it, but I think it was like something about the name of the church, like correcting the name of the church is always something that comes up that like I'd bring up. And I think that's what got it started. So like he's saying like, am I allowed to call you? Like he's like, we were thinking, he's like Mormon. He's like, oh, wait, you guys don't want to be called that. And we were thinking like, oh, like LDS would just be fine. Cause like that's what some people use. So yeah, we just use LDS and he's like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then like he started talking about how like his mom and dad was raised Catholic, but he was Protestant.
Okay.
And it was like all this time, like we were just listening to like how like he was basically explaining, because like me and Monroe, we were not as educated in like how Catholic, like we had a ton of questions. Like we had no idea like how like their sacrament worked. And like apparently there's like 7 sections of it, like divided into, I don't know if you know what they're called, but like.
I don't know a whole lot.
Yeah, I don't know either. So he was telling me, I don't remember, I remember some of it, but like it was, It was just a lot. It was a lot to take in, but like it was just a good, really hard. Like I felt the spirit during the whole conversation. It was like, oh, I'm showing my beliefs. Like I'm learning more about his religion, and like right. It was just a really nice opportunity to be able to like share our beliefs and like learn other side. Because like we compared about like what we believe in. So like they pray to Mary to pray to God. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Because he said, contrary to popular belief, they actually don't worship Mary. We just pray to her, and they actually worship like God and Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they are, yeah. They, so, and then there's that. And then we started like, oh yeah, we believe in Jesus. And like, we believe that he's the Son of God. And he said, yeah, like we do too. But like, we got into talking about other religions too, like Jainism, like a completely like not Abrahamic religion, but it was just a really, really like cool, like way to interact and learn more about like the other side. Like, cause like, I'm just like, so, like I'm only completely raised on the LDS church, and like my knowledge is just of this church, and like I've never really taken the time to get to know other churches and like to think, because like it's always been like the church is true, and yes, it's true, but that doesn't mean there's like the other churches are completely false. Like there's some truth, like plenty of other religions, like they say like to be cut, like love God, love your neighbor, like that's like a common across tons of other religions. So it's like it completely changed my view on how like other churches, like, wow, like this is not as far off as I thought it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So one of the things, you know, I, like you, I grew up in the church and didn't have a whole lot of exposure to other religions. And one of the things that I learned is that, when we have this teaching, we have testimonies and things like that. Mm-hmm. I know the church is true. I believe the church is true. Yep. I know all the things that we say in our testimony meetings. And not discounting any of that, but I think we're sometimes at risk of discounting other religions.
Yes.
That if they don't have the fullness of the gospel, if they don't have the restored gospel, then there's no value in us learning about them or interacting with them.
Yes.
And that, I think, from a cultural, so I've got a few years on you,
yeah,
and from a cultural standpoint, there's been a lot of my personal experience, a lot of resistance, a lot of hesitation in interacting with other religious groups because of it's almost an us versus them type of mentality.
Yes,
and I don't think that that's productive.
No,
I don't think that it's valuable. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons I think that I like that there's some evolution in how closely our church works with other churches, for example, is that I don't think we understand well what comes after this life.
Yes.
And so, as an example, as a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
I served my mission in Portugal, and Portugal, very Catholic country.
Yeah.
And one of the things that the Portuguese would say to me when they would say that they're not interested in talking to me,
yeah,
all roads lead to Rome, is that was the idiom that they used. Huh. And what they were saying is that it doesn't matter what church, what doesn't matter what belief, everything's going to lead to Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And I tried to explain to them that no, that's not true, because there are ordinances and there are covenants and things like that that we have access to that other churches don't have access to because of the priesthood lineage and things.
Yeah.
But I've changed my thinking a little bit, that not that any church will be able to give you the ordinances and the covenants that are necessary to live with God, but so many churches are doing such great things.
Yeah.
And if we discount them, the church, if we discount the people because they don't believe our same brand of Christianity,
same practices,
right, then I think we're missing out. And I think we're separating ourselves in a way that is not productive. I don't think it's a Christ-like way to behave. Yeah. And so that's been my experience. And so it's great to hear that you're having experiences talking with people that have different religious understandings and religious beliefs, and starting to kind of compare and contrast, just because I think there's value in that.
Yeah, it was for a long time, like throughout my, like even before like high school, like I would always have this mentality that like this is going to sound a lot harsher than it actually is. I was still kind of people, but like it was like, it was almost in a way like, oh, I'm better than everyone else because I was in the church. But after like being like high school really changed my perspective, because like I'm meeting people that are like one of them, like I have a good friend like who like he's Catholic, and he's one of the nicest people I've ever met. And like he's like, he's just like phenomenal in like the way he's nice to people. And it's like, he's even nicer than I am. But I like, but then it completely revolutionized like the way I was thinking, like, you don't have to be a member of the church to be a good person. Like this was like very black and white for me back then, but it just, it was really able to change my mindset. Like, oh, everyone's trying their best. And so from that point on, it was, I stopped looking at people for like I was labeling them like, oh, you're a member of the church or not member of the church. And that was like a really, that was like not a constructive added like mindset at all.
Right.
And so like, I've been, it's helped me to like see like more people for what they're doing. Like see the works that they're doing, that rather just saying, oh, like, oh, you don't like, oh, I, you're doing something that I don't believe in, or like, that's not the same practice, even though it's really just, you're doing things differently and you're still trying your best. Cause like I've seen like my, one of my favorite bumper stickers is like, don't judge me because I sin differently than you.
Right.
Or I drive differently from you. That's like, until like recently, I haven't really thought about how that could apply to me. But since then, it's really like, it's completely changed the way I see people. And it's like, it ultimately led to me being able to make friends better and like better relationships. And it's like worked out so nicely.
Right. Because if you're going into a relationship, a friendship with the assumption that you're better than they are because for whatever reason, I'm better than you because I'm more athletic. I'm better than you because I'm stronger. I'm better than you because I have more friends. I'm even if it's not a religious belief, you're going to lose friends.
Yeah.
Or you're not going to make friends because I don't want to be around somebody like that.
Yeah.
And frankly, one of the things that I've learned about myself is that the more interested I can be in somebody, the more interested I can be in another person, the deeper the relationship can be, the more connected I feel, the more connected they feel. And you don't have to agree with them to be interested.
Yeah.
You just have to be interested. So having that curiosity that that's interesting, that here's how your sacrament of the communion
that's
works in your church. Here's how it works in my church. And just that's, isn't it interesting that there's this overlap?
Yes.
And there's cool this part. Difference that what we believe is and what they believe is. Mm-hmm. And then just being curious about that rather than being judgmental because they do it differently than than we do. So this is a totally different, it's a related comment, but it's just something that came to mind. Mm-hmm. We were talking yesterday about the book that I wrote for Carissa and Ray.
Yes.
And so this is true for every relationship. Mm-hmm. I was raised a way and you were raised a different way.
Yeah.
And if I assume that my way is right because whatever it is, mayonnaise is better than Miracle Whip, or Dijon mustard is better than regular mustard, or you keep your ketchup in the fridge instead of in the pantry, or whatever it is. It's all the, and I don't know why I'm just thinking condiments.
No,
but it's, we're just all different. And it's interesting when you, and this is true with whether you talk about politics, you talk about religion, you talk about careers, you talk about anything. Mm-hmm. And the judgment of other people does not get you anywhere. Trying to understand, you don't have to agree, but trying to understand people can make a big difference.
Yeah.
So how have you seen that in, it's cool that you just had that conversation.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So have you seen that as you have interacted with people, as they've got to know a little bit about who you are, about your membership in the church, about the things that you believe, has that come up in friendships and class discussions, anything like that?
It's actually almost, I wouldn't say daily, but it's pretty dang close to daily. Mm-hmm. So what I, the probably the biggest, I'd say 9 times out of 10, the conversation starter about like our religion is me having to correct a miscommunication. Like,
okay.
Like the like last year, my junior year, one of my friends comes to me. He's like, "Hey, do you guys worship Joseph Smith?" I'm like, "What? Where did you get that? No, that's not a thing." And it's like, and I explained to him, "No, Joseph Smith was a prophet, like similar to like how Moses was a prophet. Mm-hmm. We don't worship Moses, and just we also don't worship Joseph Smith, but we believe that Joseph Smith, like we like he translated the Golden Plates and brought us the Book of Mormon,
right?
And that yeah, that's just another example. And oh, one of my favorite ones, probably of all time, is one of my friends. His name is Hunter. He knows that I, like everyone knows that I go to seminary in the morning and like uh-huh. I have to say like oh, early morning scripture study, early morning Bible study, right. Et cetera, et cetera. Everyone's like, "You're crazy for getting up that early." And I'm like, "Yeah, it feels crazy, but it's relaxing. I get to just like talk with my peers about like gospel stuff and it's really nice." But something that really like stuck out to me was when one of my friends asked, "Oh yeah, don't you go to church for like 5 hours in the morning?" And I'm like, "Okay, for one, it's almost 1 hour, and no, we don't have to go for the it's not like five hours. Yeah, and it's like it's not church; it's basically like Sunday school." And he's like, "Oh." And he's like, "Do you have to change out of your church clothes when you get to school? Like, when do you change out of your church clothes?" I'm like, "I don't wear my church clothes." And so I basically explained to him, it's just like a little bit of like more gospel, like doctrine for my life to help me through the day. And he's like, "Huh, that was interesting." And another one of the big one was, so these are all these people I'm talking about are from my engineering class. And one of the days our teacher was absent and we couldn't get a substitute. So we were all sitting in it was like a open air, basically like the lobby. And we were all just sitting and talking. And yet again, the conversation came up about, "Oh yeah, Caden's a Mormon." And it's like, "No, I don't like, that's not our actual term." I'm like, "What should he call you?" I'm like, "A member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints." Like, that's a mouthful. I'm like,
"It's a mouthful."
Yeah. At the time, I probably should have said LDS works too, but.
Yeah, LDS works.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we went on talking and I had to, it was like, it was kind of overwhelming to be honest, because it was like, everyone was bombarding me with these questions and it's like, "Oh yeah, you guys do this and do this." I'm like, "Yes, no." It's like, "No, the book, we don't worship Mormon either." It's like, I had to deal with some questions, but like in the end, like, I think I've helped my friends get a better understanding for our church, even though mm-hmm. every day I'm surprised by more questions that they yeah. have.
And they have questions because I think, with anything, there's bad information that gets spread. And I was in early morning seminary when I was in high school mm-hmm. as well. And our seminary was, and so somebody said, "Do you go to church every day?" I said, "No, not every day. I just go Monday for seminary, Tuesday for seminary, Tuesday night for mutual, Wednesday for seminary, Thursday for seminary, Friday for seminary, Saturday for dances, Sunday for church." Yeah, I guess I do go
every day.
So, but yeah, the bad information is out there. And I think just, I think a lot of times also in the culture of the church, and this may be shifting, mm-hmm. but as I was growing up, newly married and things, there was a lot of emphasis on sharing the gospel with people, and it felt really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because I think somehow we got the message that we were supposed to go out and convert the world.
Yeah.
And I think is shifting now, but it's not our responsibility to convert the world. It's our responsibility to share a message. And I think there's a quote, it's kind of a cliche quote that I heard, that live your life in such a way that you're an example, because you may be the only set of standard works that people ever read. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. I had an experience at work mm-hmm. a couple of years ago where a guy was, and I don't have religious conversations at work. That's not the right place for me to have religious conversations. Yeah. If people would ask me a question, I would answer, but it was so rare that I had any religious conversations. And but my team knew I did this podcast, and some of them listened to it. And
oh, nice.
So they know that I have beliefs and things like that. But I was talking to somebody that was not part of this. He was not part of my team. And he was talking to somebody else, but I was standing there. And he said, you know, when I think of, he said, I'm not a religious person, but when I think of a religious person, I think of Ken. And I thought, yes. What did I do? Which is great.
Yeah.
Because I would love to be the kind of example that people would think of when they think of a hopefully good religious person.
Yeah.
But I think that that's really what our responsibility is. It's not to go out and knock our neighbor's door and say, can I send the missionaries over? Or can you hear a message? Or do you want to come to church? I think the invitation is there. And I think just like what you're doing at school with your friends, talking about things, I think that's one of the best things we can do. We can just be
an example.
We can just be open to answering questions. It doesn't have to be weird. If somebody asks us questions, if you've got questions about somebody's religious beliefs and you ask them and they answer, that's not weird.
Yeah, no. It usually goes great.
Yeah. And so I think we can do the same thing.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I'm not sure, I've seen some studies, but I'm not sure how religion or faith is perceived. How do your friends perceive faith or religion?
It's very much like, to them, it seems like I'm just like a very strict rule follower with like guidelines. And like, even though like it's been like the topic is brought up, like, oh, like the gospel is not a set of rules. Like it is very plainly, like to other people, it looks very plainly like just a set of rules. Because like when I tell people, oh, I don't drink coffee or tea, and they're like, what, you're crazy. I'm like, yeah, I'm also not big on caffeine either.
Right.
But they always just like, oh, you can't do this. Like I don't do things on Sunday. And like, wow, it's just like so many rules. And so that's probably like one of the biggest things that one of the biggest things that I have to clear up is that like, just like with any religion, like there is sacrifices you have to make. Because I think it was a Joseph Smith quote that says, any religion that doesn't like require you to have sacrifices is not like a religion at all. Because like the whole point of like religion is to be able, like, make sacrifices so that like your life can be bettered. And like you can have like a goal to look forward to either in this life or in the afterlife or both. And that's like something I think people fail to consider. Cause like even I've met religious people, like, or like kids who are religious before, and they say they believe in stuff. They said there's gotta be something out there. Like there has to be like a God or something, but like they don't care enough to do anything about it. And like, that makes me kind of sad because like, you know, if there's something out there and you know, if there's an afterlife, then if you think about it, the math works out is that this life is just a point in the line of like the infinite time of like of all time and eternity. And it's like, if you're not going to take the time now to like get to like know your God and know, like understand more about like religion, like what's the meaning of life? Like that's one of my favorite things to ask. Like just like when people think about like, what is the meaning of life? And like, I haven't really had many opportunities, but like we know the meaning of life. The meaning of life is to, like have like a family and like just like become, like just be the best person that you can be enough to be able to become and live with God and be like God and be able to have your own families again. That's like the whole point. And like, that's just so like not a, like people don't appreciate religion for what it's like. Most people, like when they think of religion, they think of it as just like the set of rules. And like people rarely look for the benefits of religion. Like, oh, if I'm, because like you can see like the studies, if like, because we don't drink coffee and tea, we're not as like crazy, well, not crazy, but like not as like dependent on it. Because like I see people who like they need coffee or they will not function.
Right.
And like me, it's just like, oh, I just have like a normal healthy protein shake in the morning and like I'm fine. I don't need anything else. And like, like people say that like religion, like it's a set of rules, but it's really like giving you more freedom rather than just like restricting your freedom.
Right. And there's a talk by, I want to say, John Hilton. Mm-hmm. He talks about fence laws.
Yeah.
And a fence law or a fence rule is is not a it's not a law that defines sin. Yeah. So, for example, the law of chastity.
Yes.
Defines sin. Offense law would be, if you imagine, if you go to the Grand Canyon, for example, and you're up at the top rim, there's a fence there. There's a rail.
Yeah, I've been there, yeah.
And that's there to protect you so you don't get too close to the end. And so we have fence laws. We have fence laws. Families have fence laws. I would imagine that your parents have a fence law for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Probably a curfew, for example.
Yes.
There's also a law in the town of Fishers or the city of Fishers. There's a curfew.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that your parents' curfew for you is earlier than Fishers City's curfew. And sometimes I think we get mixed up with the fence laws and we think that these fence laws or fence rules are, we confuse those with the gospel. Mm-hmm. But the whole point is to help keep us safe. So, limiting the media that we watch, how early you start having relationships with the opposite sex and those types of things are fence laws. I had a question I was going to ask you. Now I'll see if it comes back to me as I ramble for a second.
Okay.
I think I was going to make the comment that a lot of times we make the assumption that these fence laws are, like I was saying, that we confuse them with doctrine. Mm-hmm. So for example, let me continue to explain and then maybe I'll come back to it. And we try to use logic to justify the fence laws.
That's the biggest thing.
And when it comes to commandments, God said in the Doctrine and Covenants, I have never given a law that is not spiritual. So all of his commandments are spiritual. Mm. The commandments are spiritual. So the commandment to not drink coffee is a spiritual commandment. It's not a physical commandment. We use, when it comes to the word of wisdom, we talk about the do's and don'ts of the word of wisdom. Make sure that you're eating healthy. Make sure that you're not taking alcohol, tobacco, tea, coffee. And so we use logic a lot of times to justify that we can get addicted, which is true.
Yeah.
But that's not, I don't believe that's the reason that we have those commandments. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes there are fence laws. I think the church has fence laws. I think that God has probably some fence laws as well. And I think there are also commandments that we have that are just commandments. They're commandments because God decided, I don't want you to do this. And it's not because we're going to get addicted or we're going to, because you can participate in some of these activities and not get addicted.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of things that are not outlined in the do's and don'ts of the church. Hmm. So I had a question one time when I was teaching seminary and Jesus taught, the situation was that Jesus was with the disciples and they were given bread and they ate the bread without washing their hands. Oh. And they were criticized because that culturally meant they were dirty. They were eating with dirty hands, therefore they were dirty. And Jesus taught, it's not what goes into the body that defiles the man. It's what comes out. So there's a doctrine. It's not what you eat. It's not what you ingest that makes you unclean. It's what comes out. So it's your behavior. It's your words. It's your actions. That's what makes you unclean. That's how you sin.
Yeah.
So I had this sweet seminary student who raised her hand, Brother Williams, why can't we drink coffee then? If this is true, that it's not what goes in that defiles you. And I'd never been asked that question before.
Huh.
And I learned as a teacher that I don't have to answer every question. So I turned it around. I asked the class, tell me what you guys think. But I learned, I think, an answer to that question. And I don't know what God's intent was when he decided to define hot drinks from the Word of Wisdom as tea and coffee.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's a temperature issue. If it's a temperature issue, then hot chocolate is
also
it's a hot drink.
Yeah.
But the church has come out and said, we're defining hot drinks as tea and coffee. What about my grandma, who would take chamomile leaves and she would steep those and use it to relax? Is that against the word of wisdom? On my mission, we would take lemon peel and we would boil that and make a lemon tea. Is that a word? So there are all these things.
Yeah.
So here's what I think. The church has said tea and coffee.
Yeah.
And they've even further defined what coffee is, what tea is. And that's not what we're going to get into right now. But but I think sometimes God just says, here's a commandment. Mm-hmm. And there's not a reason for it. It just is. And an example. And the reason I say that is because if you look in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, mm-hmm. wine was not forbidden.
Oh, yeah. It was, everyone did it.
Right.
Like it was part of the culture at that point.
Exactly. But pork was. Pork was unclean. And so bacon would have been bad. Today, I think we have the better end of the deal. We get bacon.
Yeah.
But so it's not the bacon. It's not the pork. It's not the wine. And you can make a logical case that, well, back then it wasn't fermented, but yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And because we have stories in the scriptures about people getting drunk off of the wine.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes God just says, that's against the rules. It's not for no reason at all. It's because we were talking last night about, for example, Abraham.
Yes.
And why did God command Abraham to kill Isaac?
It wasn't because God already knew that Abraham was faithful enough to do anything that God asked. It was really for Abraham to learn more about Abraham, because Abraham was so, like, he was willing. And even his son, we learned, figured out that he was, like, they both were willing.
Yeah.
And so that was like an opportunity for both of them actually to learn that the extent of Abraham's faith. So that was like a turning moment for Abraham. Like, wow, I'm really faithful. And like for his son to see, wow, my dad's really faithful.
So it wasn't for God to discover how obedient Abraham would be. It was for Abraham to discover that, okay, I'm willing to do whatever God asked me to do. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes we have commandments that God just wants us to know mm-hmm. how willing we are to be obedient.
Yeah.
And there are things, there are all sorts of things in the commandments. And when I talk about the commandments, I'm talking really about the fence laws and things for the strength of youth, for example, the stuff that's in for the strength of youth, mm-hmm. that's all fence laws. And when I was a kid, it was written differently.
It was like the law of Moses.
Yeah, it was very much the law of Moses. And so I think, so back to my seminary student who asked why we can't drink coffee. Truly, it's not the coffee that defiles you. The coffee is going to pass through your body like anything else passes through your body, and it's not going to make you a bad person.
Yeah.
But it's the decision to disobey God is what defiles you. And so if God says bacon is bad, which he did in the Old Testament days, and if you willfully disobeyed God, that was an indication of how you were or who you were to God. And God knows who you are. He knows what you're all about.
Yeah.
But that would be an indication to you. And so there are some fence laws that we have in our, in the church, in society as well. Speed limit. Speed limit is not a sinnable offense. The speed limit, exceeding the speed limit is not violating one of God's commandments. But somebody in the government decided that this is the number. You can't go faster than that. And if you do, which I do.
Yeah.
And I think we all have a threshold. Some people, the threshold is a couple miles over, and some people, maybe the threshold is at the speed limit. Right. Maybe the threshold is 20 miles over.
Right. Nine, you're fine. 10, you're mine.
Right. So, but I think our willingness to violate those laws, whether they're laws of the land, laws that that the church has established or that God has established, it's, and in many of those cases, there's no penalty. If you .465 has a speed limit of 55.
So, yeah.
If you go 55, everybody's going to pass you.
Yeah.
So if you go 65, you'll be going with traffic, and there's probably going to be no penalty.
Yeah.
Ever. You'll probably never get stopped because you're going slower than the cops are.
Yeah, the cops are on the scene.
So there's no penalty.
Yeah.
But that's also, and so there are a lot of things like that.
Yes.
In the church, out of the church, where there's zero penalty if you don't adhere to, if you don't go to second hour of church, there's no penalty.
Yeah.
Now, you may have a penalty that your parents impose, for example, but yeah, but there's no penalty. The church is not going to kick you out.
Or condemn you, yeah.
Right, because you didn't make it to second hour. They won't even do it if you miss first hour.
Yeah, or if you miss it at all.
Right, and so I think our decision to adhere to some of those laws, some of those commandments, some of those rules are more for us, showing us how committed we are. How committed are we to God? How committed are we to Jesus? How committed are we to doing what's right, being the best version of ourselves?
Yeah.
And because a lot of the other stuff, there's going to be no penalty.
Yeah.
So, and that no penalty thing drives a lot of people crazy. Because because we like to see people punished.
Yeah, that's true in some places.
And so I don't know that this is much of a thing anymore, but when I was, I was talking to my sister Annette, and we were talking about, she used to be in the stake, young women's presidency in her stake, and there was a strong feeling that if somebody came to a dance, usually it was a young woman, if somebody came to a dance and their shorts were too short,
yeah,
well, we should send them home. We can't let them be here if their shorts are too short.
That's extreme.
And then the question then is, not everybody's at the same point in their spiritual journey. Not everybody's going to have the same understanding about what length of shorts are appropriate and why, what makes them appropriate. And again, we go to logic, and this is not the podcast that I want to get into the dynamics of the modesty.
Yeah.
Especially with young women.
School jackets.
But when we see something that we disagree with, and I'll give you one other example and then I'll stop talking. I'll give you a chance to jump in if you
want. I'm up for it.
So there's a policy that if somebody says the sacrament prayer incorrectly, they miss a word, for example.
Yeah.
What should happen?
The bishop will usually be like, I'll try to do it discreetly, but like, hey, you missed a word, you need to go back and do it.
They do it again.
Yeah. It's right? Usually, like, I don't know how other people take it, but like, I mess up a few times and like, I'm not really shameful because like, I've seen plenty of other people do it. And it's like, yeah, you're human. That makes you feel better that you messed up, because it's not just like being a perfect actor every time. It's just like, oh, you're human, you make mistakes. That makes, like, that's what we're here for. We're literally here because we're fixing our mistakes.
Exactly. So let's suppose that the bishop misses it or decides you've got Nathan Hibbs. Is Nathan in your ward?
I don't think
so. In the third ward. Okay. So let's just suppose that you've got a priest in your ward who is, we'll just categorize him as special needs.
Okay.
Can't read well, maybe stutters when he talks. Some reason that he can't get through the sacrament of prayer word perfect. And let's just suppose that the bishop decides that he did the best that he could do. Was not perfect, but he did the best that he could do. Now, I've been in sacrament meetings where the sacrament prayer is not perfect and the bishop doesn't correct it. And there are people in the ward who get really uncomfortable with that. We want it right. We want it perfect.
Is it like the mentality that maybe like the sacrament isn't blessed then?
I think that's what some people think, that, well, it's not a valid ordinance now.
Yeah.
So the thing that's interesting, I'm an ordinance worker in the temple, and one of the things that we're being taught on a regular basis is that the getting the words exactly right is not required for the ordinance to be valid.
Yeah.
So if the sacrament prayer is not perfect, that means to me that the sacrament is still valid, even though the words weren't exact. But it still bothers people.
Yeah.
People are uncomfortable with that because of this mentality that you're doing it differently than I think you should.
Yeah.
And so I think that... here's what I think my point is. And then I'll give you a chance to wrap up any final thoughts that you have. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of times we worry about everybody else's behavior, progress, attitude, etc.
I mean, that's what I worried about until I had the kind of revelation or like
right.
turning point. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm worried about you. And if you don't do it right, where I really should be worried is me. And am I getting it right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and what that means to me is that my focus is, here's where my relationship is. Mm-hmm. Here's where I want it to be. I want to become a more righteous follower of Christ.
Yeah.
And when I see you behaving in a way that's different than the way I would, my reaction, this is what I believe, my reaction should just be kindness and understanding, because mm-hmm. you're doing the best that you know how to do. It's like you said earlier, that you're doing the best that, I think it was last night when we were talking about it.
Yeah.
You're doing the best that you can. And if your understanding is different than mine, your best may be different than mine. And it doesn't mean that it's worse than mine. It just means it's different.
Yeah.
And different is not bad. It's just different. And I think sometimes we forget that, going back to what I was taught on my mission, that all roads lead to Rome.
Yeah.
I don't need to worry about your road. I don't need to worry about your path. Sure, I have an opportunity to be an example. I have an opportunity to be an influence. I have an opportunity to teach, just like you do with your friends.
Yeah.
But ultimately, your path is your responsibility. And mm-hmm. your friend's path is their responsibility. And you can be there, you can be kind, you can be supportive, you can be helpful, but you're not responsible.
Yeah.
So that's my that's my lecture for the day.
I remember one point that one of my friends, that it was Evan, the one I was talking to earlier today, and he brought up the point that he took this comparative religions class by one of the teachers at school, and like I know this teacher, his name is Mr. Foss, and he's a very good teacher. He's very good at being like respectful of other religions, but like he does a very good job of like accurately explaining like how other religions work. And my friend Evan, because he took it last year, and he explained that there is, I don't remember the name of it, but there was one religion that like they have their like ways to do things, but they believe that every other religion has something right, because the way that they work is that they believe that everybody's doing something right. And so they must have some truth. And like, I brought up the point, like, oh yeah, cause like surely like every religion has some truth to what, even if it's not completely true to everyone's standard.
Sure.
It's like that really made me think, like, if there's one religion that believes that everybody's doing something right, why can't we? And then that complete, just today, it was like, wow, like I should think about that more. And so it's like, I always think about, like, I feel, I don't know if this is with everybody, but I always think about what do other churches have wrong. But instead, it's honestly just better to focus on the things we have right, because like when you focus on like the negative aspects or on the differences, you don't get anywhere. It's just like, right. Oh yeah, I'm here, you're here, so be it. Yeah. But then when you look at the overlapping, it's like, oh wow, that's like, you can think about it more in depth, and like you can come to appreciate other religions and like, no, like, yeah, everyone's trying their best. We're all in this together.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. We are all in this together. We're all trying our best. My understanding, my path, my way of demonstrating my beliefs is not better.
Yeah.
Just because we were talking last night about our beliefs feel so true because they come from our head.
Exactly.
And so we take these opinions, these mm-hmm. thoughts that we create, and assume that that's the right way. And what we sometimes forget is the other person has had the exact same experience where they've taken their thoughts, their beliefs, their opinions, and made decisions based on that, thinking that that's the right way. And our way seems way different or way, I'm way off base. Mm-hmm. And so I love that. I love that you're open to having those communications. I love the epiphany that you talked about.
It's really helpful.
Focusing on what's good, what's right. And I think that in general, we need more of that in the world.
Yeah.
And so absolutely. In high school. Thanks for participating. Yeah, thanks no for problem. Playing along with me. This has been fun.
This is really fun. Thanks.
And so maybe we'll do it again, but we'll talk to you next week. Next week, I promise. We'll have a nap.
All right.
All right. We'll see you.
Adios.
Thank you for listening to Chocolate Cake Bites. Please like, share, subscribe, and give us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to hear your comments and ideas, and you can reach out to me at ken@chocolatecakebites.com. And before you end the day, take a few minutes to consider, who do you know who needs chocolate cake?